What comes to mind when you hear of a privileged child? Do you perhaps think of a budding musician playing in a famous orchestra at just the age of 14? Or a promising sports person competing for their country aged 15? Do you think of those mathematical whiz kids that win competitions against adults when they're 8 or 9? What comes to mind when you think of a privileged child? Maybe you think more of material privilege. Those that live in massive houses with a private tennis court and a swimming pool and a private jet and numerous foreign holidays and all the money and all the stuff they could ever dream of. What comes to mind when you think of a privileged child? Would you like to meet a privileged child? You are invited to meet a privileged child today. I can see some of you shaking your head saying, no, they'll be a spoilt brat. I don't want to meet them. Well, we've got something in store for you. Would you like to become a privileged child? You are invited to become a privileged child today. So let's read, can we, from John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing those who were ill. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, that is Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, "Look, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish, but how far will they go amongst so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. And then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. Now, when they had all had enough to eat, Jesus said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and they filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign that Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Did you see did you meet a privileged child in our reading just now? Please take a look with me at verse 8. In verse 8 it says that Andrew spoke up and said, here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Don't worry about that, Andrew. Just come over here a minute. Let me talk to you. I don't want everyone else to hear. Look, Andrew, don't worry about that. I think you're asking the wrong question. See, you are asking, how far will the five loaves and the two fish go among so many? But don't you understand, Andrew? Jesus can multiply anything that we give to him. So you see, Andrew, the problem is not with Jesus' power to multiply. The problem is not with the five loaves. The problem is not even with the two small fish. No, Andrew, what I'm concerned about, if I'm really honest, Andrew, this, you see, it can go one of two ways. Look at the boy. Where are the loaves and the fish right now? That's right, Andrew. They are in the boy's hands. And that's the problem. Until we get them into Jesus' hands, there ain't going to be no miracle. And with all this modern legislation today, you know, child protection, human rights, etc., etc., we can't just grab the bread and the fish from the boy. I mean, he's only a boy. He's a minor. We have just got to hope that the boy gives the bread to Jesus and the fish as well of his own volition. You see, I don't think Jesus will take anything by force. I don't think he'll accept anything by force. And because of human nature, you see, situations like this, they really can go one of two ways. Often in situations like this, because of fear, people hold on to what they have. They hold on to it tightly so as not to lose the very little that they have. But you see, Andrew, occasionally, just occasionally, in situations like this, because of faith, people give what they have. They hand it over to Jesus. They give the little that they have to Jesus so that Jesus can multiply it, bringing blessing to many people around them. And because of faith, it brings blessing even to the one who handed it over to Jesus. When Jesus looked up and he saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." If you want to put that into real money terms, how much do you earn, or your pension, in the course of a year? Add them all together. That's how much it was going to cost to feed these people. We're talking about thousands of pounds. Another of his disciples, Andrew, that is Simon Peter's brother, said, "Look, here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go amongst so many?" But you see, the boy must have offered his packed lunch to Jesus. Because if you look in verse 11, we read, "Jesus then took the loaves. He wouldn't have taken them by force. He took the loaves. The boy must have handed them to him. He gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. Now you see, the boy offered what he had, which was not very much. But he offered it to Jesus. I think probably for him, it was probably enough for his lunch and his tea. For him, it was quite a lot, maybe. But for the 5,000 people, it was just hardly anything at all. And yet, his willingness to trust in Jesus, his willingness to sacrifice for Jesus, brought about such great blessing. Now, as you know, most of you know, that we are going through this book of the Bible, this Gospel of John, systematically, week by week. And last week, we were in John chapter 5, just a page or so before where we are now. And in a very key verse, in John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus said something very interesting. You think of Jesus, who is all-powerful, and yet he says, by myself, I can do nothing. We saw how God the Father was in perfect unity with Jesus, that is, God the Son. Jesus also said in that passage, whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So we saw the Father and the Son working together in perfect unity. And today, do you see the miracle? And the extension of this, today we see the Father and the Son, God the Father and God the Son, working together and also including the boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Do you see the privilege of working together with Almighty God? If you look at verse 11 again, we read this, that Jesus, that is God the Son, he took the loaves from the boy that gave them to him, and he gave thanks. Who did he give thanks to? Surely to God, his Father. So we see Jesus about to perform a miracle, but he's including God, his Father. And he's including the boy who is bringing the little that he has. And then Jesus distributes the blessing, the bread and the fish, to those who were seated. So did you meet the privileged child in our reading today? You see, the boy, he was not privileged because he had a packed lunch. Although he was smart, it seems. Most people had gone out that day without a lunch and he had taken his. So he was smart, yes. But he wasn't privileged because he took a packed lunch with him. He was privileged because he gave his packed lunch to Jesus. And that's what made all the difference. Those of us who believe in Jesus, those of us who have received him, as the Word of God says, we have become children of God. And if we give to God the little that we have, or the abundance that we may have, so that God can multiply it, then we too become privileged children. So that raises a question, really. What do we have that we could give to Jesus? And in a sense, the question of what do we have that we could give to Jesus, there's another way of putting the question. What do we have that we could keep just for ourselves? What do we have that we could keep just for ourselves, or we could give to Jesus? Because the boy could have quite easily have just kept the lunch to himself. He could even have kept it hidden. But let's ask the question, what do we have that we could give to Jesus to be multiplied and used by him to bring great blessings to our church and to our community, to the people who need a Savior, and at the same time, it will bring a blessing to us also. So what do we have? Devotion. Aren't some of us devoted to things? What about being devoted to Jesus? Passion. What are we passionate about? Let's give our passion to Jesus. Energy. Where do we spend all of our energy? Okay, we go to work to earn a living, and then our spare time as well. Where are we investing that? Our energy, our time, our money, our resources. What about our past? So much of who we are today relates to our past, things that went on in the past. Are we holding on to that ourselves, or are we giving our past to Jesus? What about our present, where we are right now? Are we just mulling along, or are we going to give our present to Jesus? What about our future? That's an area so often that can give us such anxiety. What will things be like in the future? What will I be like in the future? What about giving our future to Jesus? What about giving him our willingness, our hopes, our fears? And I'm sure you could add to the list too. Now, we may say that we don't have much and that we don't have much to give. But of course, the boy who had just 5 small loaves and 5 small and 2 small fish could justifiably have said that he did not have much either. But you see, that privileged child gave everything he had. His whole packed lunch, he gave it all to Jesus. And now, a question for you, just before we finish. What do we understand about the 12 baskets of leftovers? The boy had a pretty important role that day. And the disciples, what role did the disciples have? They take a bit of a backstage role, really. Their main role seems to be at the end, after everyone has eaten. They were asked to do the clearing up. And we had the party yesterday, the kids' party, and we had to do the clearing up at the end. But actually, if they'd had bread and fish and it was out in the open air, they probably didn't even really need to do any clearing up. I mean, wouldn't the birds and the wild animals just eat the leftovers? Why? And then you realize it's not actually about clearing up. What does it say? When they had all had enough to eat, Jesus said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and they filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. So what does Jesus mean by this? Let nothing be wasted. Some people try to see significance in the number 12, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 disciples, quite a key number in the Bible. But what does Jesus mean by this? Let nothing be wasted. So then if you're like me, you know the next question, yeah? What did they do with the 12 baskets of leftovers? Did they give them to the poor? Did they take them to a soup kitchen? Did they phone Gareth and say, Gareth, would you take these to the food bank? We don't know. We don't know what they did with the leftovers. And perhaps we do not need to know. But what was Jesus' actual words? Let nothing be wasted. You see, the day when Jesus fed the 5,000 people, it was a day of grace. It was a day of abundance. It was a day of God's favor. And Jesus said, let nothing be wasted. Kind of saying, do not take God's grace in vain. And today is also the day of God's favor, the day of grace, the day of mercy. And I put on a screen for you 2 Corinthians chapter 6, which says this, as God's fellow workers. How many of us in this church feel that we are workers? Didn't we work together yesterday with the party? This addresses us. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Isn't the writer here saying pretty much the same thing? Let nothing be wasted. In the time of my favor, I heard you. This is a quote. The writer is quoting, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. And the writer goes on saying, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Jesus said, after the 5,000 had eaten, let nothing be wasted. What God has provided, let it not be wasted. And today, God has provided grace and mercy and forgiveness and family. People of God are the family of God. A body. The people of God form the body of Christ. That's who we are. And God is saying to us this morning, let nothing be wasted. Let us not squander the grace, the mercy, the love of God. Now is the time of God's favor for us as individuals. If there are people amongst us who have still not received Jesus as Savior, then don't waste the occasion. Come to know Jesus. Now is the time of God's favor for us as families. If we're struggling with our families, let's cry out to God with humble hearts and say, God, we need you. Now is the time of God's favor for us as a church. You know what house prices do? They do that, don't they? You know what stock market does? They call it peaks and troughs. You know what churches do? They call it peaks and troughs. Why? Because God blesses us as a church and we go up a bit and we become complacent and we think that we can do it on our own and we go down a bit and then we repent and we turn to God and He blesses us and we go up a bit. Then we become complacent and we go down a bit. Then we think other things are more important so we go down a bit more. Next time you see those graphs on the news, we get them all the time, stock market or house prices, up and down, up and down, up and down. The Word of God says, humble yourselves in the sight of God and He will lift you up. Now is the time of God's favor for us and for the people outside who need a Savior. Now is the time of God's favor. And as Jesus said, after the feeding of the 5,000, let nothing be wasted.